Welcome to our evening service tonight. Glad that you're here. We're going to commence our worship by a well-known hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. It's a prayer of our heart. And as we come into the presence of God tonight, wherever you have been today, however your situation has taken a turn this way or that way, well, we all can come with the agreed position that we need the Lord for every time we meet. We need Him every moment of every day. Let's stand to sing. Let's bow before the Lord now, please, in prayer. Loving Father and our gracious God, we bow tonight in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, thankful that as we come in His name, we are accepted in the Beloved, that we are able to come boldly unto the throne of grace. We will obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need. Father, we've been singing now about needing our God and Savior every hour, every moment of the day. Lord, we dare not step out without our God with us. We pray that we'll be strengthened with might in the inner man. We will keep our eyes fastened by faith upon the risen Christ, and that our eyes by faith would be filled with Him. Lord, that we will walk in the light of the Word. The Scriptures will be our chart and compass, the only rule of faith and practice. Father, we will memorize the Scripture. We will look to the promises that are given there, and that we will take the admonitions, the words of warning, the words of correction. We will say from our hearts that we love Thy law. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We pray that the Spirit will take the Scriptures and constantly reveal more of the wonder and splendor of our Lord Jesus to us. Because so often, Lord, we must confess our eyes are dim, our hearts are cold, and we seem to walk at a distance. It's not what we want in the spiritual man, the inner man. We desire that we will be fed regularly, constantly, that the spiritual man will grow stronger and stronger. The old sinful nature will grow weaker and weaker. Indeed, let us die unto ourselves daily, that we might live unto righteousness, and to the end everlasting life. Father, strengthen us with might in the inner man. Help us, we pray, not to look to the world. Let us not look into ourselves too much, for that's a very depressing look. But help us to look out and up to the Savior, to the wonder, the holiness, the virtue, the blessing, the love, the grace, all these things that are found in perfection in our Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, bless everyone in the congregation tonight. Meet every believer at the point of their need. Answer their prayers, Lord. Answer each one of us according to your divine will. Help us, we pray, to bear one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. We hold up those who are grieving today. Remember Norma, her children Shirley and Peter, the extended family members in the loss of Jim. Father, we have many happy memories of Jim in the church, of his service, of Norma as she was able to work, and yet these last years, Lord, she has been so busy taking care of her husband faithfully, faithfully, day after day, week after week, month after month. But now, Lord, there's a void in her life. And I pray that you would make up that void. Help her in the time of her grief and be very, very near. Bless all the widows in our congregation. Support each one. Strengthen them. Help us all to take them upon our hearts in prayer and in a practical way that we might phone or text or email, visit, whatever might be the case, Lord, that we will hold up each other at the throne of grace. Dear Father, come to our aid, our need for every single thing that is upon us. Give much grace to those in our fellowship that are aging, sick, under the weather, leading your hand upon them. Lord, support and strengthen. Pray for Thelma tonight, for Tony. Bless them all. We think of Ted and Isabel. Dear God, bless all of these dear saints. Encourage us now tonight as we continue in our worship, Lord. Bless not only those here in person, But be with those joining online. Take away every distraction, Lord. We know that watching services online can be very distracting at times. May the word be fastened to every heart. And let us see signs following, both in the lifting up and encouraging of the hearts of your people, but Lord, breaking through in the salvation of souls. Father, we long for that in our fellowship here. We want the word to echo out to our community. So often we pray for the fear of God to descend upon our neighborhood. Lord, upon our city, upon our province, upon our nation. Lord, our nation has rejected for the most part the word of God. And I pray, Lord, in wrath you would remember mercy. And you would cause there to be a great reviving of your people. For Lord, we must confess that so often we are the ones that have gone astray as well. Bring the pulpits of our land back to the centrality of Christ, the centrality of the Scriptures. And Lord, we pray that there would be a great awakening. Move mightily, Lord, in stirring up all of our hearts. Let every faithful preacher preach again the power of the gospel, the need for repentance, the need for confession. And Lord, humble our leaders. We pray for their salvation. It seems at times an impossibility, we must confess. But Lord, with men, things that are impossible, Lord, you're able to do abundantly. Humble the hearts of our leaders and bring them to the Savior, we pray. And oh God, give us again, we ask, across our land, righteousness, holiness, and truth. We pray that you would turn back that which is evil and bless and prosper that which is good. Father, hear our prayers tonight. Be with us now, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Number 462, if you're using our book at home, Be Thou My Vision. This was actually supposed to be our opening hymn, but I mixed them up. So we're going to sing this one now. 426 or 462, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Now, as you take your seats and settle in, we're going to continue in our praise to the Lord. A heart like thine. Remain seated, please, while we sing. Turning, please, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The first 11 verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. You know the Lord will bless His own word to our hearts tonight. We welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Happy that you're here. If you're visiting for the first time or you've come back again, I want you to know you're very welcome in the Savior's precious name. And you might be joining our service tonight online for the first time. If that's the case, you are welcome. And we hope you'll take a moment and send us an email so we would have a record of your visit with us and perhaps some item of prayer that you would want us to remember before the throne of grace. We give our condolences, as we mentioned this morning, to our sister Norma Wilson and her family in the loss of her dear husband Jim. He passed away just a couple of days ago, and we want to remember him, the family, before the Lord. We don't know the funeral details yet, but as soon as we know, we'll email the congregation and remember them in prayer. Also, we're asking for your prayer for Anne Rogerson's mom, as she is also very, very low, and it seems near the end. And so we want to pray for her family at this time as well. We hold up and Ted Glynn, our brother Tony Puccini, Thelma Watson, who's 90 years old today, and many others who are not able still to be at the house of the Lord, remembering Hyacinth and Clifton before the Lord today, and some of the other seniors, Mrs. Campbell, we pray for her, the Lord would be with her, our sister Jean Bino, and so many others that have been faithful in our fellowship over the years, but they have not been able to be out for some time. We hold them up before the Lord very much in prayer. Don't forget to pray for our young people from North America who have been at the camp over this past week, and we ask for the Lord to continue to water the word in their hearts by our prayers. And do please remember the upcoming mission trip down to Orlando, that God would bless and watch over them. I bring you greetings from the Cloverdale Church. I was with them this afternoon at 1:30, 3-hour time difference. Their service is at 10:30 in the morning on the West Coast in British Columbia. But they want to be remembered to the congregation here, and so I'll be with them also tonight at 9 p.m. for their evening service. And do hold them up before the Lord. Remember all of our churches that don't have pastors at this time. We think of them regularly. Thank you for your faithful prayers for them in Fredericton, in Cloverdale, Victoria, Phoenix, Columbia, also Orlando. And we want to ask the Lord to help them and to bring men to them as soon as possible. Remember, please, our prayer meeting and Bible study this Wednesday at 7:30. It'll be in person and via Zoom. And the next Lord's Day services, Reverend Cranston will be preaching next Lord's Day morning here, and then also Brother Frank DiDerno will be in the evening service. Those are all the announcements we have at this time. We're going to sing another hymn to the Lord's praise, No Other Plea, number 412.
Thank you.
Let us stand, please, for this final verse. Turn, please, now to Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, tonight as we bow before the Word of God being opened at the throne of grace, we bow before the God of heaven and earth, our Father. It's amazing, Lord, that we are able to speak in such a way we are able to come to call the one who is over all things, the sovereign, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Father of all things, and let yet, Lord, to call you our Father. It's hard to comprehend, Lord. I pray that tonight the word would be fastened to every heart. We so often pray that. In fact, Lord, just about every service we pray that our hearts will be open to the word. And so though we repeat these words, they become a fresh prayer for tonight, for now. We can't depend on past blessings, Lord. We can't really depend upon past grace. We depend upon that which is promised for a fresh meeting, for now, for tonight, for right at this moment. I don't know the specific needs, Lord, of each one here. We can generalize. I can imagine relating to my own heart's needs, the needs of believers. And so many times, Lord, we are together in our needs. We are unified with our burdens. But they become very specific to our own pathway. And Lord, whatever pathway we must take, we come to depend upon the truth that our God is standing by our side. And in the words of the apostle, could we boldly say, He strengthened me, standing by my side. Lord, we have known it in the past. We dare to know it by promise for every day of the future. We stand, Lord, tonight before you with hearts open, desiring for the word to settle deeply inside. Thankful for every promise of the Scripture that is applicable for us. Promises that are not historical ones, that are for a particular time. But Lord, those promises that we will take application for every need that we have. And Lord, we rejoice there are many. They are multiplied. And everything has been vouchsafed in Christ. His merit has been applied to us, Lord. And we dare to stand into that tonight and to take what is rightfully ours. Lord, help us to lift up these possessions and take them and not wander about as orphans, wandering about as paupers, but help us to walk boldly with the faces as the face of lions, boldly as those who are redeemed, boldly to face the enemy, the attack of the devil. Boldly, Lord, that we will stand into our inheritance in Christ and all that He has gotten for us, that we will take boldly and receive joyfully and receive with confidence. Let no one be the plaything of the devil to be beaten around back and forth. Let none of your children, O God, we pray, be blown about with every wind of falsehood. Give us, we pray, divine certainty, divine stability. Let us be bold in our God. So give strength for every need that we have. Hear our prayer tonight. Encourage our hearts, we ask. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. What a psalm that we have read now this evening. Psalm 57, a heart cry, isn't it? As the psalmist was writing this by God's Spirit, directing him, It's once more a window into the soul. It's an opportunity for us to see the communication that David had with his God. And there is nothing hidden. Nothing hidden from the standpoint of both the difficulties and the victories. The dark depths that he had to go through. The enemies that were very, very real. And in the course of it all, his cry comes before the very God of heaven. And he was acknowledging clearly that my God is able. He is able to bring me through. He is able to make me victorious. He is able to carry me forward and onward and upward. In verse 4, it says, my soul is among lions. As I was reading that just now, couldn't help but thinking about this morning's message, if you noted that. And in 2 Timothy 4, Paul acknowledged that God delivered him from the paw of the lion. In the midst of his time in jail, he was still there in prison, of course, but he was able to say that I have done battle with the devil. I have done battle with the forces of hell. And as the enemy would roar against him, there will be nail marks, claw marks. Yeah, there will be wounds. But thank God, we are victorious over the devil. It would be nice to think it would always be as it was in Daniel's day, where the Lord closed the mouths and silenced the lions, and there was nothing. But in the warfare of the believer, there is going to be an engaging of the enemy. And in this engagement, in the facing of the lion, there will be times of that battle. But praise God tonight, we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And great joy we have as God's people to realize that in Christ we have all the victory that He accomplished by rising from the dead, both in the sacrifice on the cross and the glorious victory of rising from the dead, His ascension to glory, and the great promise He is coming back again to take us home to be with Him forever and forever. Sometimes we would hasten that day, especially when things become a little bit tight for us down here. Hasten the day. But no, friend. Even Paul said he desired to depart to be with Christ, which was far better. But he said to the Philippians, no, I cannot go before my time, because it's more profitable for you that we remain. And you know, that's the truth of every single believer. God's purpose and providence, it's best for us to remain until God wants to take us home, because we have a purpose. This morning I read from that little card of Thelma, and how she's able to give testimony as still living. The medical people had given up on her. She was gone. You can either die in the hospital or go home and die. It's your choice. She says, no, the Lord's not finished with me yet. And she's able to give testimony and give praise. The lion of the devil would love to have torn her, but God yet had a purpose for her, as He does for every believer. And though our time to depart to be with heaven, we would love to see it, but it's not ready. We're not ready to go yet. And when the Lord calls us, then we'll go. And not a moment before. Dr. Paisley used to often say that he was invincible until God would take him home. And in his situation, when he had many death threats against him, and in the operation of his moving around many times, others would have been fearful to go. Yet the Lord's hand was upon him, and he went only in the time in which God had purposed for him to go. I want you to think with me tonight for a few moments on the words of verse 7 of this text, of this psalm, and the text, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. May the Lord write that truth upon your heart, and you will take it with you in this incoming week. All of us will. And we will take that word given by the Spirit of God, breathed out from a heart as David did breathe it before the Lord with great pathos, with great conviction. The heart is the center of us as individuals. The word heart, the Hebrew word translated this, is used over 500 times. It refers to the inner man, the mind, the will, the soul, the spirit, the understanding. It's who you are. It's what is identified as you when you speak of yourself as an individual. The heart is everything that is the spiritual part of us as individuals. Now, when David said, "My heart is fixed," and he repeated the phrase that it would be established, he was making a declaration. He was saying, let all the world be unattached. Let every other ungodly heart be wandering off the plaything of the devil, but not me, not my soul, not my being. For my heart is attached to my God. My heart is devoted to Him. And I will declare that twofold so that if anyone happens to be listening, there will be no mistake. There will be no confusion at all. The word fixed in our text, it means to be firm, to be established. It means to be at attention and to be prepared. You can tell immediately by these definitions I have given you, it is a word that has broad meaning. It encompasses several things. But obviously, as it is used in the application here and in this context, you can tell what David is referring to. He's saying, my whole being, in every way I can possibly describe it, my whole being is given over to my God. Believer, I ask you tonight, is that your current status? I ask myself that. Is this my current status before God? It's so easy, you know, to be distracted and let our hearts be, could we say, divided loyalties, divided attention. You know what that's like. You're talking to somebody and they're on their phone texting, and you say, is this person, are they with me? No, they're divided. The attention is not focused. And here's where we want to be very careful, that as we bring ourselves under submission to the divine God of glory, that we are acknowledging and humbling ourselves before Him. And we want to say, as David did, Lord, my heart you have in its entirety. My heart you have that is not divided. I will repeat it, Lord. My heart is prepared. My heart is attached. My heart is consumed and fixed upon you. Please notice, in the first place tonight, the reality upon which My heart is fixed. Some things appear real, but they are not real. Maybe you have seen, driving down a road on a hot day, what is a mirage on the road in the distance in front. I've never been in a desert to see such a thing that people have talked about when there is a want of water and someone is dying of thirst and they see in the desert that image that looks like a lake, a pool, a stream, and they will scurry and use their last steps to make their way to that, only to find that it has escaped them. It appeared to be something that it was not. And that mirage is very, very deceptive. You may have taken a flight sometime and you're flying in a jet above the clouds. And as you look out of the window and you see the very fluffy clouds, they look like a whole horizon of marshmallows. And you almost think that you could, if you could jump out on them, you would just bounce and bounce and bounce. But if you did that, you would find a different reality. There'd be no bouncing. They'd be going right down through. Exactly, Caleb, you've got it right. Right down through, right to the bottom. No, there wouldn't be. It's a deception. You know, the devil is a master of making things look one way when in reality they are quite another. This deception continues to draw away hearts of people, making the world and sin look so fulfilling. Is that not the part of the great deception of the evil one? Lotteries are put forward, and you've heard the advertisements of 649. Imagine you won it. Imagine the 14, 15, 50 million, whatever it is this time. Imagine you won it. And the carrot is hung out in front of people. You just need to get to that store and buy that ticket. You need to be sure you don't miss out, because there's so much that is set before you. And for that people, the person who happens to win, little do they know of the mirage that is set in front of them. Little do they know how much deception is right given to them in their fingertips. The deception that happiness will be brought about by a great windfall. The deception to think that if winning great money and having great goods of this life is going to bring fulfillment and satisfaction. Do you know a study of those that have won great amounts in lotteries? To follow through their life, how many have ended up completely bankrupt after they have spent all, because they think there's no end to the pot of gold that they have received, and they spend and spend foolishly until they have come to the point, like the prodigal son with his bag of gold, that he went into the far land and he spent and spent and spent and lived riotously until he put his hand into his pocket to get that next piece of gold, and it was empty, nothing there. And people that have ended their lives chasing that dream, running after that mirage, looking for happiness, friend, it wasn't there. It ended in disaster. It ended in suicide. It ended in them listening to the devil's lie that there would be gratification in such a thing. At the end, friend, of the devil's lie, it's always going to be destruction. It's always going to be devastation, casting away. Let us beware, as believers, that we are not deceived and led astray by very impressive counterfeits. counterfeits of Satan that promise the power to purchase happiness and fulfillment, but they will leave bankruptcy all around. And I say this to believers, all of us, because we are able to be duped sometimes and brought into that deception. If we are not on our guard, if we are not paying close attention, if our hearts are not fixed upon God with all of our attention, we can be deceived because our hearts are very prone to deception. Don't think for a moment, friend, that you're smart enough to avoid the deceptions of Satan. You are not, I am not, we are not, because he has had millennia of experience of deceiving people's hearts. And our hearts, well, the Lord warns us, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Yes, hearts can be led astray. Satan is very proficient at his deception and must therefore be very, very wise and be careful about what our hearts must be fixed on. This is the core and the very heart of this particular psalm and this verse. The reality of our hearts, they are to be fixed upon the Lord God Himself. If I have all things in this world, but I do not have God, then I have nothing. But if I have God, if I have the knowledge of my heart fixed to Him, and I have nothing else of this world, dear friends, we have everything, because with God there is an eternal inheritance, and He has promised that we are partakers of the riches of the inheritance and the wealth of Christ. And being inheritors with Him, oh friend, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Let the reality, let our hearts be fixated upon God. What does he say in the proverb? My son, give me thine heart. My son, my daughter, my young person, give your young heart and life to God. Don't squander it and waste it away looking at the things of this world with all their attractiveness, but oh, be brought on your face before the Lord and say, oh God, take control of my heart. I give it to you, Lord. And young person, if you do that in your young life, if you say, I give myself, my everything to you, what you're doing, you are fixing your hearts upon the Lord. And in so doing, you will find that God is a great rewarder. Oh, you can never, ever, ever lose out when you do that. Sometimes you look at Christians' lives, you might look at people who profess faith in Christ, and they don't have too many beans to rub together, and you wonder, that doesn't seem very successful. Your perspective is wrong. Your perspective is way off. As a matter of fact, you're not realizing the Lord standing by your side, because as we noted this morning, that will give correction to every misconception and every wrong perspective. Having the Lord with us, having our hearts being held by His hand, in His hand, it is the greatest thing that we can do. And a little bit beyond that, an extension of that, what it means when our hearts are fixated upon God, they are going to be fixated upon His Word. Because really, whatever is breathed out from God, His message to me as a human being, I need to know it. I want to know it. And the more that I pray to God to make me aware of His Word, we'll say as David did in another Psalm 119. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It's a prayer for God to grab hold of us and to hold us, draw us near to Him, and to keep us, because we can't keep ourselves. I need to have my heart devoted unto God, fixed upon His Word. And the next extension to that is going to be to have all of our understanding and comprehension focused upon Christ Himself. He is the incarnate Word. He is the one who is revealed in the written Word. And as we come to have our hearts centered upon Him, what does that mean? What does it look like? It means, friends, that we will be brought to trust in His sacrifice, in the cross. When our hearts are devoted to the Savior, and when we are devoted to His sacrifice, to the cross work, we will see all of the reality of this world really coming right down to the focal point, because the cross is the hinge of all humanity. And when we have that perspective, we realize that the work that Jesus did on the cross to make atonement for this sinner's sin, and that if I was the only sinner in this world, that Christ would have left the glory of heaven to come and die in my place. And I am humbled by that great truth. I want to say, Lord, You have my heart. You have it all. I give myself to You, Lord. I pray that I might be fixed upon the sacrifice of Christ. How important it is, friends, to have a Christological view of all the Bible. Many people miss out on this, you know, in the reading of their scriptures, when they do not see Christ in the Old Testament, when they fail to have their minds enlarged by seeing Him in the book, in every page of the Scripture. As you do your devotions and you're reading through the book of Leviticus, sometimes hard plowing, before you come to read, you say, Lord, would You please make the Savior real to me from reading in this portion today? And I guarantee you, as you pray that prayer, you will find the Scriptures opening up to you with the wonder of your Redeemer. Yes, your love will be stoked to Him even further. And when you are fixed upon Jesus Himself and His cross work and sacrifice, you will be inexorably drawn to the sufficiency of Christ and all His merit. It cannot be anything else. It's like a great magnetic field drawing you to the Savior, drawing you by the merit of His sacrifice, drawing you to the sufficiency of His person and righteousness. Oh, what a great truth. What a great reality. That's what David saw, you know. That's what he knew when he said, Lord, my heart is fixed upon my God. He knew Christ. He knew the Messiah. He was able to say by faith and with all joy, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He knew salvation. He knew what it was to confess his failures unto the Lord. In Psalm 51, yes, friend, as we turn our attention toward our Redeemer, His sacrifice, His sufficiency, we will then trust in the security of our Lord Jesus to see that we will persevere to the end. That's a great doctrine, you know, the perseverance of the saints. I'm very happy about that doctrine. It's so much more than Calvin. Because if a man simply made an identifying mark of what the Scripture teaches, that's a good thing. We don't credit that to a man's, not at all. The security of the child of God and the perseverance of the saints is so clearly mapped out and revealed to us in the Word of God that we can rejoice with great certainty of it. Once you are in the hand of God, no power and no force can remove you from that. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they are in my Father's hand, and they cannot be plucked out." It is impossible. Once we have come to the Savior in truth and reality, and our sins have been washed away, we are securely held by Him. He knows us, and He loves us with an everlasting love, and He has given to us eternal life. And when God gives eternal life, He doesn't take it back again. If He was to give temporary life, well, then we would possibly lose it. But no, He gives eternal life. And once that has been given by our God, we are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, and we will persevere to the very end. That means that once truly saved by God's grace, you will be brought into His fold at the end. Now, what does that mean when someone backslides away from the Lord? What does that mean when someone becomes cold in heart and becomes very distant? Well, that's a reality. We know that is a true thing. But everyone who is genuinely born of God, washed in the blood of Christ, they will be brought in to glory. They will persevere unto the very end. And that perseverance of the saints is a doctrine because the Spirit of God is abiding within the heart, and therefore that is the power, the impetus that will draw us through to the end. Yes, until we come to glory, to heaven. Oh, let's think often about heaven. Think often about our home. Because then the things of this life will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Heaven and home. And whether we die or whether Christ comes to take us, we are winners no matter what. And friend, let that great truth encourage your heart tonight. I encourage you by this second point tonight, that my heart is fixed, it is prepared to serve the Lord. Prepared no matter what the cost. We often lament our weak and half-hearted service for Christ in light of what He has done for us. I know I do. In fact, I think it's important for us to be careful that we do not spend too much time looking into our own hearts and failures. And as I've reminded you before, I think it was McShane who said, "For every look inside, take 10 looks out to Christ." That's good advice. So that we do not become overly consumed with our own weaknesses. But yes, we do at times lament our half-hearted service. But when the Holy Spirit stirs our souls and we are filled with that zeal of God's Spirit and power, and He equips us to serve Him, we will do so joyfully because our service is not to self or church. Our service is to Christ. And that is the motivating principle, friends, behind what we do for Him. If you're serving an institution, serving a denomination, serving some human cause, it will be short-lived. It will tire you out. Ah, but friends, let always our service, in all of its joy and consistency and persistency, let it be toward our God, because then there will be an absence of complaining. There'll be an absence of murmuring. That's a curse to any church. Murmuring, complaining Christians. It ought not to be. Let there be no complaining in our streets. Let there be no murmuring or bitterness. Let there be no backbiting and no gossiping. Let all of those things be done away with. And let us devote ourselves and our hearts being attached and fixed unto our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is only then, believer, that we can properly serve Him. And if we are called to serve, which we are, and if we're going to say that the Lord has my heart and my service for Him will be undaunted, yes, let me serve Him with all my heart. It's a good prayer for us all to pray tonight. Lord, please give me a prepared heart to serve You. Thirdly, my heart is fixed to stand for the Lord, no matter what the attack may be, no matter what the cost may be. May we come prepared to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Notice the extent of the persecuting force that came against David. We find that in the first six verses of this psalm. He speaks about the taking refuge under the wings of God until these calamities be overpassed. He said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. All these things, they prepared a net, a trap. They prepared all these things against God's servant. He knew it well. And don't think for a moment that the devil is not as active against every one of us today. I often encourage you, as I do myself, that you awake every day from your night's rest and acknowledge that today is a day of battle. Today is a day where the devil has his crosshairs set up on my heart. Let us awake every day to realize that we are in a fight, and that we will have on the proper armor. That's exactly how Paul encouraged the Ephesians. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the deception of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, when we pray for our governments, we pray for God to restrain the evil and bless the good. We're asking God to step, reach beyond the physical to the invisible and spiritual world. And we would do well to pray that God will cripple the devil's attempt to overthrow the Church of Christ. We do well to pray, and when we do so, we're praying that the gates of hell will not prevail against the onward march of God's church and His purpose. We're in a battle, brothers and sisters. And let us realize that battle is heated. And if our hearts are fixed upon God, we will be prepared to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, the Lord will give us grace, strength, wisdom, discernment, power. Now, as we conclude tonight, let us draw our hearts out in this final point to realize that our hearts are fixed to worship the living and the true God. David said in verse 7, I will sing and give praise. Here the word preparation, attention, fixation upon the service of our hearts, it's very fitting. Too often we can be guilty, I think, of not coming with a full heart in our worship. But every time we gather with God's people, let us be conscious and mindful that we are coming to seek the God of heaven. We are coming to worship the Lord of all creation. And as we do so, uniting our hearts with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we realize the essential part of our life is the worship of God. And I know where our worship is certainly not just when we gather together and sing a hymn, because the worship of God's people is, as you are doing right now, sitting under the ministry of His Word. You are worshiping God. As you are giving of your offerings and tithes to God, you are worshiping the Lord. As you are extending a hand of kindness to a brother or sister and praying, you are worshiping the Lord. As you are giving a cup of water to a needy soul, you are worshiping God. You are serving Him. Let us not undervalue that which God greatly values. Let us count these things as being important. Yes, we worship the Lord by attending the house of God, and attending, could I say, in good time. Being prompt in the house of God is a good thing. Don't be late in the house of the Lord. Come early for worship. Be there from the opening word, the opening note of hymn and praise, because we are coming before the God of heaven. We worship God by listening to the preaching of His Word, the faithful preaching of the Word of God, I might add. Because if the preaching of God's Word is not faithful, do not listen. Leave. Go someplace where you can find the Word of God being faithfully preached. But as the Lord leads you to this fellowship or to some other place, that you will be sure you're under the sound teaching and preaching of God's holy Word. And of course, we worship the Lord by partaking of the elements of the communion of the Lord's table, of following the Lord in baptism, of praying in the Holy Spirit, of reading your scriptures every day, of the giving of thanks to the living God. David is saying, I am resolved to trust in the Lord. I am resolved to serve the living God. I am resolved to praise Him. Twice does he declare this to the glory of God, who thus comforts the souls of His servants. Young person, be sure that you are serving God in this way. Be sure that your heart is open to worship. Don't be distracted by false worship. Don't be distracted by a contemporary spirit that is not for the glory of God. Serve Him with all your heart. Listen to what Mr. Spurgeon said. He said, I am resolved to trust Thee, to serve Thee, and to praise Thee. Twice does he declare this to the glory of God, who thus comforts the soul of His servants. Reader, it is surely well with thee if thy once roving heart is now firmly fixed upon God and the proclamation of His glory. Sing, though sense and carnal reason fain would stop the joyful song. Sing and count its highest treasure for a saint to hold his praise. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we ask tonight very simply and humbly that these words and the truth of them would be stamped, written on our hearts. Help us to enjoy our God every day. Lord, to rejoice with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Help us to be a shining light and a testimony in a dark world. Help us not to be overcome by melancholy or depression, but rather to rejoice in all the sufficiency of our Redeemer and to feast in Him daily. Hear our prayers now, Lord. Part us in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. Save precious souls, we ask, Lord, for Your honor and glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.